The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. After the feast of the Ascension of Christ and before the feast of the Pentecost, there are about 10 days in which we are held in liturgical suspense. We sanctify our own time in 2025 by making our calendar parallel with those events of the first century described to us in the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles, where first Christ ascends into heaven in the presence of many witnesses, an event that could neither be fully imagined nor comprehended, and he departs with instructions. Then, after having told his followers a number of times that his departure would result in the coming of the Holy Spirit, he gives them instruction that it is perhaps one of the instructions hardest for human beings to obey. Sit still, hold on, pray fervently, and wait. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and following. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so if we are paying attention to our calendar and walking closely with Jesus, we now experience liturgically what I have come to call the ascension tension. We place ourselves into the circumstance of Christ's followers who were exceedingly joyful at the Lord's ascent, but who had not yet any sense of when their time of waiting for the Holy Spirit might end. They were simply told to wait for the promise of the Father. We can surely place ourselves at least mentally into that space where we await the Holy Spirit. But in reality, we can't return to that time because the Holy Spirit truly has already come. In fact, we read from the words of the epistles each week from the New Testament, and every word of the New Testament was written in years and even decades after the first Pentecost, letters and Gospels written to a church that had already been born at the coming of the Holy Spirit shortly after the ascension of Christ. Every word of the New Testament was written after the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of our Lord, the birthday of the church. And so on this day, when we hear the words of St. Peter in his epistle, as he wrote, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch and prayer," we can recognize that the end, that his instruction to be sober and to watch unto prayer, was not the same kind of waiting that Jesus instructed his followers to do at his ascension. In fact, the passage from St. Peter's epistle that was placed here in the liturgies of the church over 1,000 years ago, not because the church believed that St. Peter was writing to people that were awaiting the coming of the Holy Ghost, but because there's a striking similarity between what St. Peter says and what Jesus says. Jesus says for us to wait until the promise of the Father. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, he says. The times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses or martyrs unto me. In response to those words and that powerful instruction, the scriptures indicate these all then continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in a very similar way to that scene, St. Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." The message is about the same. Be ready. Remain in continual prayer. As we pull back ever so slightly further in time, and we see, first of all, just outside the context of Jesus' words, we secondarily pull back just outside the context of St. Peter's words, who who likely wrote the letter in the early 60s of the first century, we begin to ask ourselves about his context and have a disturbing thought. Was St. Peter wrong? St. Peter wrote almost 2,000 years ago something that is translated into the phrase, "The end of all things is at hand," appears in the King James Version. Now, you and I know that when something is at hand, it means you might not even need to go to the grocery store this week because it's at hand. It's coming. And so if St. Peter was right that the end was at hand in the first century, we must begin to ask ourselves what he meant by the end of all things. And for that matter, we might begin to ask Jesus what he meant when he painted an apocalyptic picture in Matthew 24 and then capped it off with the statement, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled." When we read these words in our current context and contemplate the end of all things, we must admit that we tend to picture something like the last scene of Star Wars where the Death Star explodes. That's the end of all things, right? Perhaps St. Peter was warning his people, as any doomsday prophet might, that the end is nigh, that kind of end. But from our context now, in 2025, we should have a clearer understanding, not a cloudier one. And we could admit that St. Peter was either wrong or he meant something else than the explosion of the Death Star when he said, "the end of all things." We must first acknowledge that the word translated "all things" is aeon, which is more commonly translated as age. And so a better translation is "the end of the age is at hand." Most English translations say that, actually. And then that leads us to another question. The end of what age? Let me submit to you that both Jesus and St. Peter were speaking about a great and inconceivably devastating war that was about to come upon Jerusalem, where the very temple of God would be destroyed and where not one stone would be left upon another. Jesus and St. Peter were speaking not about the explosion and dissolution of the planet and the universe, but the end of the age, the end of the aeon. For about 40 years after his crucifixion, death, and resurrection and ascension, the Romans would come to Jerusalem and completely destroy the city and level the temple. To the first century Jew, this was the end of the age. The end of the age of the temple, the end of the age of animal sacrifices and symbolic atonement and expiation and being rid of sin. The end of the age of the old covenant was come, and that was unthinkable. Yet the entire Old Testament had been fulfilled in Christ, and what would replace that old covenant? Jesus tells us in his own words, explicitly, the words he would say to his apostles who would carry his ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. He would say, "This is my blood of the new covenant. This is my blood of the new testament, which is given for you and for many for the remission of sins." It's new. Here is the end of the age of expectation, of type and shadow, of tabernacle and temple, of Jew versus Gentile. It was the beginning of a new era. It was the beginning of the heavenly reign of the resurrected and ascended Christ. The beginning of the era of the Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh, as the prophet Joel said, and not just poured out on prophets, priests, and kings as individuals. The body and blood of animal sacrifice had been fulfilled in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And Peter could write that the end of the age was at hand and not be embarrassingly wrong, because the destruction of the temple was truly only a handful of years away, AD 70. And this would be the final portion of the end of the aeon, the age. And Jesus could say that this generation would not pass away until all these things be fulfilled, because the things he spoke of would happen. Some would happen very soon. And so we say, wait just a minute. Are you telling me that we must not have dread of the demise of all things? I will say this, you can be afraid if you want. And if you've been taught to be afraid, then you can be afraid. But I didn't teach you that. A better way to live is dread nothing but the loss of Christ. Are you telling me that the Christian life is one in which we must not live in continual fear? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Are you telling me that wars and rumors of wars and tumult and fear and nation rising against nation and the abomination that causes desolation and darkness covering the whole earth and all these things have happened already? This generation shall not pass away before all these things be fulfilled. The end of the age was at hand, exactly when St. Peter said it was. And that generation did not pass away before all those things were fulfilled, just as Jesus said. But what about the tribulation? Oh boy. Well, that happened, don't you think? Romans come to attack and level and destroy Jerusalem and the temple. Do you think there was another time when the instruction to head for the hills would have made more sense than that? And now we're getting disappointed about the Left Behind series. What about Timothy LaHaye? What about Kirk Cameron? What about Nicolas Cage to a lesser extent? What about those movies that were made? Were they all made in vain? Supposing this is true, what is the message for us today as we walk in this time in which the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all nations? What is the message for us today if we're not looking for lights out, as if the sky had not already turned dark on Good Friday before the absolute and glorious light of the resurrection was ignited on 2 days later on Easter Day? What is the message for us today if Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven, accompanied by angels, is something told from the perspective of heaven and was fulfilled at the ascension, where he is on the clouds? If we're not meant to be plagued with the dread of our age, then here is the truth. The news for us today is good. It is good news indeed. It is the fact of the gospel. And it's very simple. We must simply read again St. Peter's instruction to hear the import of good news in Simpsonville, 2025, June 1st, 427 Batesville Road. Because whatever age we're in, our lives as followers of Christ ought to look much the same. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things, listen closely, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I'm still waiting to find the dread in here. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. No dread. The gospel is good news. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is ascended, and a way has been made for us, and the Holy Spirit has come, and the followers of Christ are granted participation in his triumphant reign in his life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.